All of you had a good week so far?
No.
You gotta have one.
Well, Hillary, tell her story about this.
Mine would feel better if I could get my car back.
Yeah, well, it was okay till today.
Yeah.
Nothing got back in. Work is after.
If you need me.
The computers went down. ASAP went down. Not the computer, but the computer. I said, I'm glad I couldn't get into that last account because the money got in and they couldn't do it. And would have had to went back in there later tonight to do it. But other than that, it's been.
Amen.
I didn't know they were today. The police Pentecost, I said, do you want to vote against us because we're Baptists? They said, no. I know a lot of good Baptists. Just something like that.
All right, well. I lost my place. Come on here with. All right. Well, let's turn to the Song of Solomon chapter 4. Song of Solomon chapter 4. Before we go any further tonight, Sunday night service. We don't have one, right? We didn't have one last year. Okay, I just want to, you know, get that clear and over with now that, you know, so Sunday, in case I have to forget it, just one of y'all remind me, please. With the ministration I'm having, my mind's not as clear as it used to be. I'm putting it off on that tonight. But that's what I'm putting it off on. I'm putting it off on that. So, we do need to start praying for one another. We need to pray more today for each other than maybe we have in the past. And I'm sure that y'all do pray, but we need to remember each one that comes here to the church, each and every service. Because I'm going to say it again, and I've said it time and time again, and you're probably going to continue hearing me say it, but you that are here on Wednesday night, and I know there's some that would be here on Wednesday night, that can't make it because of maybe they're working. But the ones that come out on Wednesday night is the ones that holds the church up. Keeps the church going. It keeps the church going through its prayers. And we need to pray. And you know, I'm still waiting on the Lord to do something. I don't know when he's aiming to do it. His time and our time is not at the same time, but I know that the Lord's not going to leave us sitting right here and not seeing some of our faithfulness be carried out. But I want to think about a message tonight, and I think I maybe hit on some of it here the other week when we was talking about the this time of year, the spring, where people go out and they start gathering up the land and start taking the land and turning it over and turning all the weeds underneath, and where the weeds will die out and all the briars will die out. And so they can end up going in there and being able to disky land and put it in a little more, in order a little more, and where they can be able to plant something within the garden. But I want you to look at tonight here in chapter 4 in the book of the Song of Solomon. And it also, it says over here too in chapter 3. I know I just saw it. It's talking about stirring up. The word stir right here, I believe, is the stirring up of the land to get the field in order. And I believe the field out here in the world is in order today. Because I believe the fields are white unto harvest. But who's going to harvest the field? Who's going to go out and harvest the ones that are dead in Christ? Who's going to harvest the ones that are saved, that God died the will of God? Now they're serving somebody else or something else. But who are they serving? And who is going to help them along the way? It is up to us as individuals, it's up to us as believers in Christ to continue on the work that he has set for us to do. And it says, though, in chapter 3, in verse 5, it says, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roe and by the hind of the field, that ye stir not up, nor wake up my love, till he pleasure. As I looked at that one verse, as I looked at that one verse yesterday afternoon a little bit, I see right here where that God is telling us as individual believers not to wake someone up that is asleep. If we just go and wake them up, what have we offered them? What have we done for them? I believe if what it's saying to us also, it says that ye stir not up nor awake my love. Who is he speaking about? My love. He is speaking about the ones that are saved. He is speaking about the ones that have been born again. He is speaking about the one that where Jesus Christ went to Calvary and shed his blood for them. But over here in the Song of Solomon chapter 4, We see right here where the first Lamb verses right here, where the bride right here, where the bridegroom is speaking. It's not the bride, but the bridegroom is speaking. And the bride will speak at the end of this chapter. But it says in verse 12, a garden enclosed in my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plant or an orchard, a pomegranate, a pleasant fruit, campire and spikenard and saffron and calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloe, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens. A fountain of gardens, more than one garden, right? He's speaking of right here. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, a stream from Lebanon. Verse 16 says, awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruit. We see right here where he's speaking about the garden. Speaking about a garden. And I believe he's speaking about where the type of garden that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to have. Now, we as individuals, we that are in here today, we are his garden. We are the ones that he is using in the garden. And he is the one that where he will go about and he will plant us in the garden that we may blossom, that we may bloom, and that we may be able to go forth. It says a fountain of garden, a well of living waters, and a stream from Lebanon. Thy plant or an orchard of pomegranate, with pleasant fruit, campired and spikenard. Verse 12 says, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. See right here where the church is likened unto the garden. This is what I believe the writer, the psalmist, I mean, David right here is writing the Song of Solomon, that he is writing here to the people here, that the church is likened unto a garden. That's the way God looks at this church. That's the way God looks at us as individuals and also as a crop. You know yourself that you can go out here and you can plant tomatoes, you can plant onions, you can plant potatoes, you can plant all different kind of vegetables in that little fenced-in garden. But when it's fenced in, why is it fenced in? It's fenced in where the wolves cannot come in, where the deer cannot come in, where the animals and the wickedness of the world cannot come in and damage the crop. Now, each one of them, you got tomatoes in it, you got onion, potatoes, and all. You got different types in there. But all together, is considered a crop. We have, just like any church, we have people in the church that are saved, but each and every individual is different in their own way. God has different things that He wants us to do. God wants you maybe to sing in a choir or teach Sunday school or whatever. But you have a specific job to do. And I probably should have said something else besides job. But a type of work or servant unto the Lord. You know the reason people today don't want to be called and don't want to be categorized as servants? Because servant means, just like a deacon, means that servant is supposed to be on his toes at all times, is supposed to be ready to go and help someone up that has failed at all times. And the individual that failed should not have to bend down and grab the shoes and put the shoes back on their feet. But the servant, that is their duty to do. That is their duty to be right there, to be at their beckoning call. And that's the only way that we're going to see where an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church that believes in the King James Bible and love the Lord. That's the only way that this church will ever do anything. Only way it'll ever grow is where people's going to have to give of themselves first. Because, see, it's not about you anymore if you're saved. How many in here tonight are saved? Would you raise your hand? All of you that's here tonight, you're saved. It's not about you anymore. It's not about me anymore. It's about the people that come into church that we have never met before. We've never seen them before. We've never talked to them. It's about them. Because see, we have been fenced in by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit will not allow the Comforter, will not allow the devil to come in and to attack me and attack you. Oh yeah, he's going to come in, he's going to attack us. But one thing about it, he cannot get your soul. He cannot get your soul. He cannot get my soul. Because we are supposed to be people that is righteous. And that's the way we need to look at. That's the way. And we should not look at ourselves as so righteous that we're going to walk around with somebody patting us on the back. I ain't talking about that kind of righteousness. I'm talking about that we're so righteous in knowing whom we serve, in whom we trust, in whom we believe in, and who is going to continue on taking us to where we need to go. In verse 16 says, but we do hear him say, my garden, awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden. And I was looking at that this afternoon a little bit, and I was thinking about it with this morning. And I was thinking about it. I said, you know something? We can take that and we can look at, awake, O north wind, and come. thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may blow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruit. Why do, you know, this time of year, we don't like pollen. Everybody, they get runny nose from it. They get an itching eye from it. And it gets down in your throat and you get to coughing and you don't know what to do with it and everything. But if it wasn't for the pollen, we wouldn't have the vegetation that we do have. We wouldn't have the trees out here if we didn't have the pollen. We wouldn't have the fruit that we have if it wasn't for the pollen. We must have the pollen. See, the pollen is right. I believe this is speaking of the pollen right here. It comes from glory. He sends us the pollen to sow. Well, we can look at where he has blew the pollen in. How many of your automobile, by probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, went out there and looked at your automobile? You may have a green one, may have a blue one, may have a white one, may have a brown one. What color was it then? Yellow green, like Brother Bill said. Hey, that's to remind us that God is still on the throne. God is still doing his work. But he wants us to do a little more. He wants us to be able to go out here and visit. He wants us to be able to go out here and just tell people about his love and tell him what he's done for us. What has he done for you lately? What has he done for me lately? Well, I can tell you one thing he's done for me lately. This morning he allowed me to be able to wake up. He allowed me to struggle a little bit and to get up out of bed. He allowed me to be able to breathe the fresh air that he'd given me. So many things that he does for me each and every day. And he does for you each and every day that we just overlook and we forget about. But we can't forget about God. Because God has never forgot anything. Just look at your own life. Just take inventory right now of what God has done for your life today. And the miracles that he's performed with your life today from this morning, from the time that you woke up. To getting out of bed. To be able to eat, to be able to go, be able to do. We can thank him right now for 24 straight hours. Somewhere within them 24 hours, we'll miss something. We'll miss something. Why? Because he's always answering prayer. He's always answering our prayers. You know, Paul says, we receive not because we ask not. So if we don't receive a blessing from God today, it's because we didn't ask for the blessing. You know how we receive God's blessing? Is go to him and thank him for what he's done for us today, and then God will pour out a blessing. that you can't contain, that I can't contain. Every plant and tree that is in the garden has been planted and pruned by the King of Glory. I believe that that one little statement right there, where he says every plant and tree in this garden has been planted and pruned by the King of Glory. The unfolding of every blossom on the fruit tree, he has watched with delight. And when the blossom mature into fruit, his delight has become a great joy. One high ambition that will bring great joy in the garden of souls, that his garden may bear much fruit. Are we bearing any kind of fruit for him? Are we bearing the oranges? Are we bearing the apples? Are we bearing the berries of the fruit? Are we bearing any kind of fruit for him? Are we bearing the fruit? Can we say that we went out and sometime this week and we've went out and we've talked to someone about the Lord, and we've talked to someone and we've asked them, do you go to church in a while? If we haven't, we don't deserve a fruit for today. The fruit is there for us to be our partakers of the fruit. And within all of that, it goes back to the first statement. Every plant and tree in this garden has been planted and pruned by the King of Glory. You know, talking right here, talking about the fruit, talking about the tree, talking about the tree that was planted, talking about the where we go out here and we'll talk to someone, we'll ask them, well, where do you go to church at? Well, if they can't come out and tell you just like that, that's a good possibility they don't even go. But then if they just wait a while and they get to thinking and what they're doing, they're thinking about a name of a church that they know. And they know the preacher's name. I mean, you know, people today are just so, they're just so hung up on the world and all what the world has to offer. But I do believe this. And if you agree with me, I think the Word of God will bear me out. But what it says about it. But talking about the pruning, what does that mean? That means that you go out there and you take the pruning shears. Like it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, what he basically is saying is, we need to go out there and we need to prune off the dead weight. The dead weight. Because you can saw that limb of that tree that's on there that don't have no sap in it, don't have no leaves on it, and you can look at it and tell that branch is dead.
It cannot be brought back to life. So, in that case, what do they do? He cuts off the dead branches. Why? So you can have some more branches that go out. That's what we need to do. We need to ask God, say, God, prune me today. I know I got some dead weight. I want you to get rid of the dead weight that's in my life. I don't want to have nothing that's dead, no kind of dead weight in my life to where I cannot serve you. And we must ask Him also to help us to get the church back to where it was one time. I don't believe it's not because people have just got the feelings put on their shoulders and somebody said something that they didn't particularly like and they're not here no more. And they're probably not going to church nowhere regularly. If they do, they may go once a month or once every 2 months. But the thing about it is, I believe God is pruning the church as a whole. Because I know a bunch of churches today, right now they got a whole lot of dead weight in the church. And I hope and pray we ain't got no dead weight in here. I don't think we have. Because I see where y'all are here. And if you had any kind of dead weight that was on you at all, you wouldn't be here at every service. You may miss a service maybe this week. You may come back, be here at all the services next week. The next week you may meet a particular service, but you don't. I've heard people say, and I've heard some of y'all say, you'll be so glad when such and such day comes by. Because you know it'll be church. You know, at one time in my Christian life, after I got saved, I did not want to miss church. I still don't want to miss church. I mean, I've missed more church in the last probably 2 or 3 months than I have in a long time. It's not because I didn't want to. It's not because I didn't want to be here. I wanted to be here. Even if I couldn't even got up here to stand and preach, if I could have got here and got in a church, that's where I wanted to be at. Because you know, I know too also, don't get me wrong, please, I love to preach. At least I love to try. But you know, if I can't, if I know somebody else that could come fill in for me, I'd just soon be right there sitting and listening to them that I know will preach God's word. But we all need to be fenced in. And what really spoke to me about this message tonight, about being fenced, is over in the
Book of Solomon is that where my daughter and my wife both was discussing here about, I think my daughter brought it up about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, about where she said, I wish we had a place where we, and had the stuff where we could fix a place where we could fence it in so the deer wouldn't come in and eat the tomatoes and the other type fruit. She didn't realize what she was saying. And since then, you know, I noticed on TV, and everywhere you go now, they get advertisement for that. Did you realize that the businesses I hear are advertising for the Lord Jesus Christ? They don't even know what they're advertising. They putting something out there where they can make some money in. But I look at it differently. You can always use it. You can always use the advertisement that the place, the business is put out here to get God's word across. I just want to let you know I love each and every one of you. If it's anything at all I can do for you, don't know, think you can call me day or night. I heard my wife talking to someone on the phone first part of the week, and they must have told us, well, we don't want to call and bother him. She said, well, you can call him anytime, day or night. They said, no, we're not going to do that. They said, don't mind me. And my wife and my daughter both, we know that he's liable to get that phone call one day. Maybe 3:00 in the morning. Please don't never forget that. I am there for you. I am there to help you. And we're supposed to be here to help each other. And I do thank you for your prayers. I really do. You don't know how much. But I do not believe that God has brought me this far in the ministry that he's placed me in for me to just sit back and do nothing. And I do not think the same God that I serve has brought you this far for any of y'all to come up to me and say, well, preacher, you know, the church hasn't grew any. I beg to differ with you. Yes, it has. Yes, it has. It's grew in your faith. It's grew in your faith. I've had a couple people here tell me, before preacher, I'd have never stood up and tried to do that by myself. Hey,
That's what we all need to do, is put our faith in God. If we put our faith in God, it's nothing that we cannot do. Because he put that verse of scripture now where it says it's impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. And where the song that people sing a whole lot of times says, little is much when God is in it. That right there says a whole lot. Little is much when God is in it. What God says, saying to me about that, God is saying, people of Faith Baptist Church, not many die now, but they've been faithful to me. I'm going to be faithful to them. Don't y'all want to be here when God does? When he does come on the scene. Man, I want to be here. I really do.
Over so far now, I'm afraid you're going to tip.
You can't keep going.
Please don't even start walking too fast. If I do, I'll run down the steps. Run down the steps.
Song or just
yeah, we have a song and we'll be dismissed in Christ.